You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. The New York Mets lost the first game in their four-game series against the San Diego Padres on Thursday night, but I think this was a kind of moral victory, if you can call it that. This team fought back. They had their chances to win. They came up a bit short. I thought they showed a lot of resilience. I'm going to talk about that game in the first segment and why I think it foreshadows good things to come in this series moving forward. Then in the final two segments, going to play the remainder of my conversation with Javier Reyes, host of Locked On Padres, as we preview this series on Wednesday night. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Now, Taijuan Walker didn't have his best start by any stretch. Gave up four runs, three of them earned, off seven hits and four walks, only had two strikeouts, but he gave the Mets five innings when they had a really tired bullpen, and I think that really shaped how Rojas managed this game. The fact that he didn't have to go to any of those arms of Miguel Castro, Familia, Trevor May, Edwin Diaz, Seth Lugo, Robert Gazelman, all of these guys were able to get a day's rest here. They only pitched Walker, Jacob Barnes, and Aaron Loop. And I think that is a really good sign for the rest of this series that at least this bullpen will be fresh for the Joey Lucchese start on Friday that gives the Mets a chance to win that game. And then you have DeGrom and Marcus Stroman going in the final two games of this series. So I kind of feel like this was a game where the Mets kind of knew that it would take a brilliant performance from Taijuan Walker to win it. And when he didn't give them that, they still got him through five. They could have pinch hit for him in the top of the fifth. He was at 81 pitches. There was a spot there with a couple of guys on. They could have gone to the bullpen early, but they got Walker through five. And ultimately, I think that bodes well for the rest of this series. Because at least now, you can put your best foot forward in these final three games. And again, they had their opportunities. And the game could have been completely different in the third inning if Mason Williams comes down with a home run robbery. Fernando Tatis Jr. hits one straight away center field. Williams has a great chance on it. A lot of hang time. Leaps up. The ball's in his glove and just comes out. Doesn't squeeze it enough. And it goes over the wall for a two-run homer. And that was Tatis' 17th of the year. But that gave the Padres an early 2-0 lead, which could have been completely different had he made that catch. Maybe the Mets get out of the inning without giving up a run. And who knows what happens from there. Walker maybe could have gone deeper into that game. Maybe he would have been a little more confident having not given up any runs. We don't know. But that was one of those turning points in this game. Yu Darvish was very good early on. He also turned in a ridiculous offensive performance. Went 2-for-2. This is a guy that has, I think it was 13 career hits now after two in this game. And he's gotten five of them against the Mets in his career. Just one of those random, weird Mets killer-like stats that you can find. But Darvish contributed to a run in the fourth inning, getting a double that extended a rally. And then San Diego was able to tack on a run there. In the fifth inning, they scored another because Brandon Drury, first off, makes an error. That's why this run was unearned. He makes an error in that inning early on from third base. Not the best game for Drury. Didn't really play a sharp third and was 0-for-3 at the plate. Also failed to come through in some big spots. But The reason why the Padres were able to score that unearned run is because Fernando Tatis Jr. showed once again that he was the best athlete on the field. He's on third base. There was a wild pitch that barely trickled away from James McCann, but just an unbelievable read by Tatis. Breaks for the plate right away. Slides in. There you go. Padres up 4-0. And they win this game by one. That was literally the difference in the game. Tatis just made everything happen. That's why you pay a player like that. That's why a player like that makes you a legitimate World Series contender, because they can break games open for you. It'd be nice to see the Mets have a player perform like that. I believe they have some guys on this roster that can be that type of player. We just haven't quite seen it yet this season. But the Mets of old would have given up. At that point in the game, you give up a run there that was kind of a ticky-tack. You can't believe that run comes across. You're losing 4-0. Darvish is dealing. The Padres have an unbelievable bullpen this year. They had the best team ERA in baseball. The Mets of old would have just folded up shop. We'll try again tomorrow. We don't have a chance. This team did not do that. Even though this is the first game after a late getaway day the night prior, they're on a West Coast trip. They battled. In the sixth inning, Lindor gets a base hit. James McCann gives the Mets life with a two-run homer. They actually had a great opportunity to completely flip the script in that sixth inning and win the game, as Dominic Smith would draw a walk. Billy McKinney gets hit by a pitch, and then the Mets get a big break as Brandon Drury hits a soft ground ball where the Padres try to make a force out at second, and Tatis doesn't look it into the glove. It ends up trickling away. The Mets have a bases-loaded spot with one out, and who's coming off the bench? None other than Pete Alonso. Now, I actually got into an argument on Twitter over this decision to put Pete Alonso out there. Don't argue with people on Twitter. No one ever listens to either side of the argument. Never is there any progress made when you try to explain something to someone, especially someone with no profile picture and two followers. Generally, they're just on Twitter to give you a hard time. But anyway, I digress. This guy was saying that Pete Alonso shouldn't have come up in that spot, because you want him later in the game where he can hit a home run. The Mets had an opportunity in the sixth here with the bases loaded, one out, and a left-handed pitcher that got brought into the game and could not be removed because of the three-batter minimum rule, where you put Pete Alonso at the plate in a situation where the Padres have to pitch to him against a soft-tossing lefty. To me, that was a brilliant move by Rojas in that spot. Mason Williams would have had a tough time. This was a lefty that kind of had a weird motion coming from a side angle. Williams, as a lefty, would have been tough for him to get a hit. Instead, you put your best power hitter up. All you want in that spot, at least, is for Pete to get some air under one, get you a sacrifice fly, and you're one run closer. And that's at the least. You know, if he hits a home run there, grand slam, all of a sudden, 6-4 Mets, you change the game. Now you have a chance to steal one. So I thought this was the perfect spot for Pete to come through. And unfortunately, baseball is tough. You only get a hit 30% of the time if you are one of the best hitters in baseball. And in this spot, Pete ends up hitting into an inning-ending double play. And that was really the Mets' best opportunity to win. But to give them credit, they continued to fight back each inning and give themselves multiple opportunities. They just didn't cash in ultimately to win. But in the eighth inning, Francisco Lindor drew a walk. And then after a couple of outs, Billy McKinney came up, hit a triple off the base of the wall, just short of a game-tying home run. It could have actually been an inside the Parker, but Manny Machado, who was playing that rover softball position with the shift, fielded the ball on the warning track after it took that weird bounce away from the right fielder and saved the Padres from giving up that inside the Parker. And the Mets could not get McKinney in from third. Then in the ninth inning, they had a little bit of a rally. Tomas Nito got a pinch hit single. Jose Peraza drew a walk, but Travis Blankenhorn grounded out. And then Kevin Pillar hit the ball pretty hard, but it just bounced off the mound right into the glove of the second baseman for another inning-ending double play, a game-ending double play, and the Mets lose this one 4-3. Altogether, though, I love the fight of the Mets throughout that game. Different guys stepping up. And I think that this is maybe the worst version of the team you're going to see in this series. Pete Alonso should be in the starting lineup for the final three games. We'll see if Jonathan Villar can get back in the lineup as he's dealing with that ailing hamstring. And you're going to get a start with Jacob deGrom and a start with Marcus Stroman to close out the series. And you'll see what you get from Joey Lucchese in a revenge game pitching against his former team. Maybe he shows up and shocks us all. We'll see what happens there. But overall, this is going to be a fun series. Two good teams going at it. And it is still June. So let's not overreact if the Mets lose a series to the Padres early on in the month. I still think they're playing some pretty inspired baseball. We'll see what happens from here. But for the final two segments, you can hear the final part of my conversation with Javier Reyes. I'll play that for you in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA playoffs are in full swing, as is the NHL playoffs, and Major League Baseball, of course, is going on. BetOnline has you covered for all those sports. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you guys ever heard about SportsTrade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. Making money with SportsTrade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares and players, you can pick that penny stock in a rookie who has huge upside, or you can get your blue chip vet who's always been a steady performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares as you want and as many players as you want, just like the stock market. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the new evolution of fantasy sports. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. That you mentioned with Blake Snell, do the Rays have some like hex on these pitchers? Because it seems like all of them leave Tampa and they just aren't the same. I mean, we saw with Chris Archer, to a certain extent, David Price wasn't quite as good. I mean, he had his moments, but I don't know what's going on there. It's kind of interesting that Snell's struggling too.
There's a bunch of different reasons for this. I've heard some people say that it's just really hard to hit in Tropicana Field, and maybe that having half of your starts there helps, and people have trouble seeing the ball, stuff like that. Tropicana Field, despite my love for orange juice, there's not a high reverence for Tropicana Field, it seems, among baseball fans. But it's that, as well as just my only take on that is there's going to be people that start coming out with the takes and they're like, the Rays won yet again. They just knew to get rid of this guy. And I'm like, are we sure they knew he would become a below replacement starter? It's kind of reminds me, and I've made this correlation before, forgive all my baseball fans that might not be familiar, but it's like when the Boston Celtics traded that first pick away. They didn't take Markelle Fultz or whatever. And my thing is like, okay, they get Tatum and that's fine. But you're telling me the fraud known as Danny Ainge, who is relevant right now, it's the other reason I'm making this correlation, like knew that Markelle Fultz would enter training camp with a completely different shot form and then just get hurt. He needs to have the water drained from him. Like you give teams credit, but I think you have to calm down. I do not think that the Rays knew he was going to fall off to such a degree that apparently he's worse than like Andrew Heaney right now. He's worse than Dylan Bundy. He's worse than all the Angels guys. You know what I mean? Like he's worse than Adam Wainwright at this stage of his career, Adam Wainwright. Like that's just a little bit too much for me. To predict a drop off is different than predicting him to be almost unpitchable. He's Robbie Ray. But not this year's Robbie Ray, who's randomly good again, by the way. I don't know what's going on there. But like previous year's Robbie Ray, that's basically what Blake Snell has been. So I think the Rays do deserve some credit. But also, let's calm down. They also hit on Joe Musgrove, and they also hit on Yu Darvish, and Ryan Weathers has been awesome. So that just goes to show you how much depth the Padres really have.
I do think you make an interesting point there about front offices, because, you know, with Taiwan Walker, yeah, the Mets make the signing. It looks brilliant right now. They made that signing, if I remember, about 10 days maybe before spring training. It's not like he was at the top of their wish list. They tried to get Trevor Bauer. They tried to get a million other guys before they land on Taiwan Walker. And it has worked out great for them. But sometimes you kind of just stumble into things or stumble out of things where things don't work out. So I definitely think that could be the case with Snell. And I do want to ask you about the division real quick too, because first of all, I don't know what's going on with the Giants. I don't know how they've somehow gotten this resurgence from guys like Buster Posey and all those older guys, Evan Longoria, and they're atop that division competing with the Dodgers and the Padres. But it seems like that might be the best division in baseball. And I had so many people telling me going into the year that was going to be the NL East, but it seems like it's the NL West has three teams that are really freaking good.
Yeah, I mean, that division, I mean, I think everybody expected the Dodgers, and also people expected the Rockies to be as porous and borderline unwatchable as they are. And they're also one of those teams, this doesn't always happen in baseball too much, where you like watch them. If you showed somebody who doesn't know anything about baseball, you could kind of tell that the Rockies are a bad team, which usually says a lot, because if you just show someone the Mets on the wrong night, people will be like, oh, this is the worst team I've ever seen. But it just happens to be an off night. The Rockies, it seems like it's a constant. And Diamondbacks a little bit, well, I think they've rebuilt a little bit better. I think that they're just in that process and they're not in like a Rockies basement no hope situation. They're certainly not a good team. And then the Giants, it's a lot. Shout out Beg Caspic of Locked On Giants, who I talked to a lot over the offseason, and just being like, look, the Giants, I think people are underrating Kevin Gausman, who looks like he might start the All-Star game at this point. That's how good Kevin Gausman's been.
I know, that was a shot.
It was an unnecessary shot, though. I love your boy. I don't know why I did that. That was me. That was me. 0. My apologies.
0.71 ERA. Let's be real here.
He'll be this. He might be the guy that follows up Jacob DeGrom. That's still pretty crazy. Like, for a guy who we're talking about hexes and stenches, the Orioles are like that, apparently, for the opposite of the spectrum, where if you're in Baltimore, you're never going to be a good pitcher. Never. It'll never happen. And this could be the second guy who leaves. And what's concerning, especially if I'm Baltimore, is he was there for a while. It's not like only 2 years. It's like he was there for like 7 years and immediately goes to San Francisco, just figures it out. He's got amazing strikeout stuff. Like I would be, if I'm an Orioles fan, I'm definitely concerned. But yeah, the Giants just seem like one of those. They're a smart team, man. They're like kind of the Spurs of baseball, again, with the basketball correlation. But I think that they just know how to build small kind of teams. I do think that we should expect some regression from guys like Posey and some guys like Brandon Crawford, but I expect guys like Mike Krzyzewski to get better. I even think guys like Alex Dickerson and Donovan Silvano might be better for that team. So it might even out. I think that they're going to regress, but I do think that in another division, that team might be more in a playoff hunt, in my opinion. For now, they're in the playoff hunt for now. But I think that at some point it's going to regress and they might maybe be a fringe wildcard team. But I just think at some point, like, we really think Aaron Sanchez is going to take them all the way at Anthony Discofani. It might work. And if it does, then we already know who's winning GM of the year, in my opinion, at least for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, it's been weird. It's just been, I don't even know. They're one of the teams when you're not paying attention to, you know, because they're on the West Coast for me, where you just look at the standings and you're just, how is this happening? But
it happens, man. It happens. It's like the opposite of your division, meanwhile, has been falling apart. I mean,
I will have the remainder of my conversation with Javi Reyes in just a minute, but I want to tell you what I'm having for snack time, which is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors to choose from, like my personal favorite, the cookies and cream bar. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Look, I'm not going to get into this, but the less said about the Braves, the better. Let's just say that it's not going well in Atlanta right now. And I feel kind of bad because they were projected low for quite literally lower, I should say, for like no reason. And those dumb predictions are going to end up being true potentially. And then they're going to, oh, we told you. Yeah, because you knew the thing with Ozuna was going to happen and Soroka and all that stuff. Like, okay, whatever. But, you know, teams like the Phillies that are really top heavy and whatnot. Like, I think that's playing to the Mets benefit, which it feels like it's been a while since anything's played to the Mets benefit. If anything, the Marlins would break out and be explosive the 1 year the Mets are finally World Series contender or something like that, right? But how has it been kind of, you feel like, in that division? Like, is there any type of, do you feel like the Mets kind of, is there a team that you fear at all in that division? Because I think with mine, it's obvious it's the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be the Braves. I mean, you just look, anytime you have to go through a lineup that has Acuna and Freeman, I mean, they're still a team that can absolutely hit a stride, and they've also won the division 3 years in a row. So you got to give them that respect. But every time when the Mets have faced someone from the division this year, you're looking at the other side and you're like, every team's broken right now. Every single team in this division, like there's injuries. There seems to be even friction with managers, like, you know, with Joe Girardi, there's some people who don't like what he's doing over there. It's just one of those seasons where no one seems to just be having a comfortable, fun season. And the Mets have really taken on that over the last, I'd say, 10 days, 2 weeks, where I think they've won, I want to say, like 9 of the last 13 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the Mets have been kind of the one team that seems to be figuring it out. And it's been with a lot of replacement guys coming up and helping out the team. But yeah, the division as a whole just seems to be battered, and no one seems to be healthy or hitting a stride until right now, I would say.
Yeah, it feels like one of those divisions that it's weak is too strong of a word for me. I still think you have to hold out hope that Atlanta will be better.
I think you can call it weak.
You think I call it weak? Okay, fine then. All right. So you'll approve of that diss, but yeah, okay.
If I'm not mistaken, everyone's under 500 but the Mets.
Yeah, so it's it hasn't been good. I mean, I think that was projected to be at minimum. It was the division I thought would be the most fun in baseball because you've got a lot of fun players there. But yeah, it's just, that's another thing. You bring up injuries. It just feels like there's been even like the best teams in baseball this year too. And I would put the Mets in there as well. At least on paper for now, for sure. Like every team has been suffering injuries. The Dodgers with Bellinger, Dustin May, and somebody else probably that I'm forgetting, AJ Pollock, guys like that getting hurt pretty constantly. And then with the Mets, it's Alonso, it's Jeff McNeil, it's DeGrom for a little bit, which scared, I think, every baseball fan half to death. I don't know where you were. I don't know how you remember watching that video of him being like, when he was throwing, that must have been really terrible. And then with the Padres, where you have the Tatis scare, and while that gets saved and whatnot, you have guys like Trent Grisham going on aisle, Austin Nola, Denelson Lamet, Adrian Morejon, all these guys. It feels like it's been a weird year for injuries so far. I hope this isn't like an increase. I haven't looked at the numbers or anything like that, but you know, I know we know empirically that offense is down this year, but I don't know for sure if there's been more injuries, but it certainly feels like there's been a lot of unfortunate luck this year, and it sucks because there's a lot of good talent out there.
Yeah, I do think it's coming off the 60-game season. I think that mm-hmm. there's, especially with pitchers, I mean, I know that with the Mets, it's been more of the hitters going down, but it's kind of unprecedented to go from the jump in innings that these guys are going to have to do to, you know, I think German Marquez might have led the league in innings last year with like 85. So for guys to go up to 200, 220, there's going to be injuries. And I also wonder just what that year off maybe did to kind of throw some of these guys off their rhythm. I know for the Mets, a lot of guys have been getting hit by pitches, and that's how they've been going out. Not to say that there's been a big spike in that, but you might have to wonder, okay, some of these guys are throwing 99 and maybe they don't have the same control they would have if they had the same flow last season going into this year. And maybe that has kind of led to some injuries on that side of things. But it's just been kind of a weird year for sports in general. And I think that there's a lot of little carryovers from COVID that we really don't understand. And maybe the injuries is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But look, I love talking Mets baseball, and I imagine we'll talk throughout the rest of the season, or at least I'll try to, because I genuinely like this team. I think it's a fun team. And I think that, like you said, there's a story every other minute with them. sometimes bad, but sometimes good too. Do you have any final kind of predictions, I guess, for this weekend series, which consists of one start, which is hilarious to look at, Blake Snell versus Taiwan Walker. And if someone find me the person that predicted that at this point that Taiwan Walker would not just be better, but infinitely better so far having of a season than Blake Snell. Do you have any last predictions or final thoughts on the series, man?
Mets are going to get a 4-game sweep.
I mean, it could happen. It could happen. It's a good team, but it is at Petco. It is at Petco. But one of my favorite things to do, though, is still when people, they do the, all right, no. All right, so they're going to win 2 of 4, and they'll probably lose the Darvish start, and they'll lose the Joe Musgrove start. And then the opposite happens. They'll lose the start against Miguel Diaz, you know what I mean, or whoever the Padres might have to put in their 6-man rotation that they're running right now. That's always so fun, but it just speaks to the unpredictability of baseball. I think we get a good old-fashioned split series here. I really do. I genuinely think this is going to be a good one, though.
Yeah, coming into this week, I said, you know, I think the Mets are in for a 4-3 week if they handle business in Arizona. They did that. They won 2 out there. So, yeah, I think if the Mets walked away with a split in this series, they'd be pretty happy, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
And I'd be a little bit surprised if the Mets offense gets right against the Padres pitching and all the guys that they have in the bullpen and the starters. It's not like this is the back end of the rotation going. They're ready. And then after that, we'll be playing each other next weekend, which is something to look forward to, too. And I might even try to attend that game. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited for that. And, you know, if it happens, at least. But Ryan, it's been so much fun talking. Do you have any final things you want to plug? Because I know you are a busy lad. At least I think you are. I see you on Twitter a whole lot. So what you got any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, people can find my work over at Mets Mirage. I'm an editor over there. Mm. And you can listen to Locked On Mets every day, Monday through Friday. It's just like Locked On Padres.
Ah, a college friend of mine is doing some Mets Mirage stuff. Shout out my guy, Anthony Gabbs, doing some stuff over there. Okay.
I think he's pretty new. Yeah.
Yeah. He just joins. I'm pretty sure. So shout out to my guy. I hope he's doing all right. But everybody else, don't worry. The Padres are going to sweep this series. And Ryan, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yep. Same here. That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. I'll be back on Monday to break down the rest of this series against the San Diego Padres. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.